Hey kids, today's beverage is a tallarita. Basically, it's a margarita made tally style, which means equal parts margarita mix, whichever you can get a hold of, whether it be Sauza, Jose Cuervo, doesn't matter, fresh lime juice, and I mean fresh, get the limes and squeeze the juice, and a nice silver plata tequila. Don't waste a good Añejo or Reposado on a margarita. And don't get gold tequila. Gold tequila is just a silver tequila that's non-aged in any way with caramel coloring. And you're getting ripped off if you're paying more for it. Anyway, so equal parts, margarita mix, fresh lime juice, tequila, on the rocks with salt. Ooh, yeah. That's just a little slice of heaven right there. The lime juice is the key. You don't need any triple sec, Grand Marnier, no orange liqueur at all. You just need fresh squeezed lime juice. Don't get the limeade or any crap like that. You want fresh lime juice. That's the key to making them. Okay, let's talk about the Olympics, because I can't bear to talk about anything else this week. The celebration of pure sport, where people of all nations can come together to compete on an even playing field in the arena of the world, without politics, without bigotry, just pure sport. How cool would it be if that were true? I have to admit, I've had Olympic burnout since 1984, when they were in my own neighborhood, and the entire city of Los Angeles left the country. While working at Disneyland, we had all the athletes and coaches come in, and everybody in their assorted posses, but very few other tourists. And for the first time in the 7 years I worked there, there was no line for Pirates of the Caribbean, where I worked. In fact, we had local news teams down on the ride every other day shooting footage of, "Look, folks, no line." Seems we were making news along with the no traffic jams and empty restaurants. I don't even remember watching the Sydney Games 4 years ago, other than the closing ceremonies when they were introduced the penis-looking mascots and my reaction being, "What the hell are they thinking?" But this year, I'm sucked in. Perhaps with being unemployed, I have a lot of time on my hands. I don't know. I think it was initially because it was the uber coolness of it being in Athens, the birthplace of the Olympics. I mean, come on, admit it, that's pretty damn cool. Then it was the morbid curiosity of watching the impending train wreck of the facilities not being finished on time. Then I just got into it. And now I'm sucked into the drama, but sometimes for all the wrong reasons. Now, don't get me wrong, there have been some totally awesome moments. Like, after a night of penalties on almost every ride in the equestrian team show jumping finals, the tie for the silver medal between the U.S. and Sweden going to a jump-off where everyone had a clean ride, not one fence down, and the U.S. pulling away with a faster course time, and Sweden seceding to the U.S. with one rider still to go. That was amazing. Or the wonderful competitive spirit between the U.S.'s Michael Phelps and Australia's Ian Thorpe, both amazing gentlemen with respect not only for their sport but for each other. Or after getting injured and backing out of the Tour de France, Tyler Hamilton comes back to win the gold in the men's cycling time trial. Or the unstoppable U.S. women's softball team. How much does that rock? Or how about Moroccan distance running legend El Garouge winning the gold in the men's 1500 meter? Or my own hometown girl, Johanna Hayes, Olympic record win in the 100-meter hurdles after Canada's Perdita Felicin fell on the first hurdle, taking Russia's Irina Shevchenko with her. The sheer joy on Johanna Hayes' face that she had won the gold was an amazing Olympic moment. But my favorite How about that Iraqi soccer team? They score one goal and 20 fans jump into the pitch out of sheer joy. And now they've made it all the way to the semifinals. It's too bad that in their glory, they have had to spend time fending off Bush's political whoring on their success. I'm so glad they had the balls to speak out and tell him to knock it the hell off. I do love their reaction to the question, what would you say to the Bush daughters since they are here for the games? And the guy said, get your troops out of our country. Sweet. I love it. But there is starting to be a stain uglier than I can remember. I mean, there has always been controversy, and a lot of it created by the ugliness of the athletes themselves. But there are more doping scandals this year than I can ever remember. Or how about drama diva Svetlana Kourinka being the most ungracious and self-centered, anyway, of any athlete in recent memory, bitching about everything, never talking to any other athlete, acting like an uber prima donna, then falling off the uneven bars in her last event. I hate to say it. Well, I don't hate to say it, but karma. However, the ugliness goes beyond drama when it comes from blatant bad judging, which has been all over these Olympic Games. From the, oh, he made an illegal turn in the pool, 1 minute, then saying, oh, wait, our bad. And though you can keep your gold medal, to the exceptional screw-ups in this year's men's gymnastics. First, getting the starting score wrong for the Korean gymnast. But the worst yet had to be the horrible score given to Russia's Alexei Nemov's high bar routine, which clearly was phenomenal. He had 6 release maneuvers with twists and flips, I might add, and the only thing he did was take a small step on his dismount, which everyone but the gold medalist did, including Paul Hamm. And they scored him so low that the crowd booed and screamed for 10 minutes until 2 of the judges changed their scores. Then still gave him an inferior score. Now, I don't know what's worse, that the crowd can influence the judges by threatening to incite a riot, or the judges feeling so badly for Paul Hamm having to follow that outburst that they scored him perhaps higher than they should have. Not to say Hamm wasn't amazing, he was, but anyone could see the difficulty difference between the two routines and the way they were both executed. Nemov was clearly robbed, putting Hamm in a terrible position. What is he supposed to do? I mean, is he supposed to refuse the medal? Oh, give me a break. Both men were as gracious as they could be. However, I can't imagine what Svetlana would have done if it had been her, but I gotta tell ya, I do have visions of her head exploding. Now, I can't wait until Friday's bronze medal soccer game between Iraq and Italy. Who cares about the gold medal final between, what, Paraguay and Argentina? I think I don't care anymore. All I know is it's gonna rock, and whether they win or they lose, they have done an amazing thing, and I just hope every single last one of them gets drafted by either Major League Soccer here in this country or by Manchester United or some big, gigantic soccer team all over the world. I hope they just get all drafted into the program because it's some of the most amazing soccer I've ever seen. Now, if we can just get Bob Costas to shut the hell up during the closing ceremonies, so we can enjoy them without all the senseless chatter. Wasn't that the most annoying thing during the opening ceremonies, this constant yip, 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 yip? I mean, they were beautiful, but shut up already. I'd like to hear the singing. I'd like to hear the other commentary. I'd like to hear just the music, perhaps, and just experience it. Shut the hell up. Anyway, I'd like to say good luck to all the Shut It Down New York people during the upcoming Nazi Fest. I am so with you. Shut it down. Please let this work. Anyway, that's all for this week. I'm Tally, and this has been La Perspective. FM.
Oh, we love the letters to the editor at the Barkov Radio. Here we go. We got a letter from Fancy Johnson of Las Vegas, the luckiest girl in the world. Headline, President's goodness shines during campaign stop. Oh, by the way, you're going to need a bucket. So maybe put this on pause, go get you a bucket, sit it near your computer, or if you're in your car, you might need to pull over because you're going to get really, really sick when you hear this. As a volunteer for the Bush-Cheney presidential campaign in Las Vegas, I had a rare opportunity recently to greet the president when he came to town. I stood in awe as Air Force One arrived, a shining eagle of freedom gliding across the sky. Oh, God, I'm already sick. I held my breath as President Bush descended a long row of stairs. Overwhelmed by the moment, I felt tears begin to stream down my face. The president looked at me with deep compassion, then took my hand and pulled me into a calming hug. I told him that meeting him was the greatest honor of my life, and I thanked him for serving our country. Liar, he isn't serving Jack. He stole the job. I beg to differ. He talked to me for a brief moment, moved on to other supporters, and then looked back and winked as if to make sure I was okay. Someone told me that when President Bush shakes a person's hand and looks into the eyes, it's as though he is looking into the soul. Now I know that this is true. There is a goodness to him that shines through, and that goodness illuminates all around him. No, bitch, that's the halo. He's God's boy. Please,
shines all around him.
I'm a mother who feels safe with President Bush leading our nation. Did you feel safe on 9/11 when Bush was leading the nation, lady? Do you feel safe now that we're in a never-ending world war with beheadings, a weekly deal on the television? You feel pretty safe, do you? You got any kin in Iraq, lady? I am a teacher who believes in the power of No Child Left Behind. Well, how could you be since Bush defunded that? There is no Left No Child Behind program. It doesn't exist. That's the thing he talked about. But when the budget came out, he said, maybe next time. And this crazy lady believes in the power of No Child Left Behind, even though there... Lady, do you believe in the power of Martians, too? I'm an American who sees the positive changes our country has made during the past 4 years. Well, gee, could you list a couple? In what way is the country better off than we were 4 years ago? As one of thousands of dedicated volunteers across Nevada, I now feel like the luckiest girl in the world. Fancy Johnson. Lost wages. You know, this is the kind of insanity that we're up against. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that Clinton tripled the stock market and gave us peace and prosperity for 8 years. And that Bush has plunged us into a never-ending war. But she likes the last 4 years. She's comforted by Bush's leadership as the towers fell. Jesus, we got us a battle on our hands. People would rather have the war and the recession than the peace and prosperity. They love Bush. They love what he's done with the economy. They love what he's done with the war. They love what he's done with our standing around the world. They just love it. We are in an uphill battle. We are fighting pure insanity. This lady didn't even sound particularly religious. She just loves Bush. The idea that no matter what the monkey does, no matter how many people die, no matter what he destroys, he's her man. How do you fight that?
As America prepares to choose a candidate to lead us for the next 4 years, it still seems unable to move past what one of them did 35 years ago. I'm referring, of course, to the ironically named Swift Boat Veterans for Truth, who appear to be neither swift nor truthful. For instance, one veteran, George Elliott, says this about John Kerry in one of their ads.
John Kerry has not been honest about what happened in Vietnam.
That's tough. That's hard-hitting. Unfortunately, he also said this about John Kerry in the same events back in 1996 while standing next to John Kerry.
John turned his boats to the beach,
And the enemy was routed. The fact that he chased an armed enemy down is something not to be looked down upon, but it was an act of courage.
Well, still, polls show that the ads are having an effect.
Of course the ads are having an effect, because there's been no response, or maybe very, very little response. When someone says, he's a cheater and a liar, and you say, don't call me that, people think, well, hey, there's some smoke there. I wonder if there's any fire. Of course the ads are going to have a reaction. Of course they're going to work a little bit. Where's the rebuttal? When are we going to fight back? You know, I heard today, but apparently today, Max Cleland, no legs and one arm, apparently he flew to Crawford, Texas, and took a car over to the gate of Bush's compound and asked to speak with Bush or a Bush representative, and they said, no, get out of here. But that made the news. I haven't been to a TV. I heard this on XM radio. But think how dramatic that is for the one-armed, no-legged man to be at the gate demanding to see the president, and the president saying, no, get out of here. I can't be seen near you because after what my party did to you. Max Cleland, potentially more of a hero than Kerry, surely sacrificed more than Kerry, and he's down there making that dramatic statement. I hate to be one of those I was ahead of the curve guys, but I was thinking last week, couldn't think of a way to get this into words and make it sound half smart. But I was thinking how dramatic it would be if Kerry were to walk to the White House, to walk up to the White House and say, I'd like to see the president. And they say, oh, he's busy. And no, I would like to see the president. I demand, and they have the CNN cameras, have the cameras there. Why can't I see the president? I've got an important thing I need to speak with the president about. I'd like to see him right now, please. If Kerry had done that, if Kerry had gone to the White House personally and knocked on the door and demanded to see Bush, probably the smart move for Bush would be to not answer the door, to say, no, he's unavailable. But think of the coverage. Remember they did that on West Wing. The president went to see the Nazi bastard, and the Nazi bastard made him wait. So the president went back to the White House, and then the news got out. The president went over there to try to break the impasse, but no, the dirty-ass Republicans refused to deal with the president. They refused to even discuss it. So that's where the roadblock is. That's where the big logjam is. That's where the big bottleneck is. The Republicans, the rat bastards, they're the ones that are causing the problem. Kerry could have done that, but before I got the idea out, Max Cleland went to Crawford and demanded to see the son of a bitch, and he refused to speak with him. Now, how about that? That's a good example. How many times have I said this? For the price of a plane ticket, that's all it took. People say, oh, send us money so we can fight Bush. Hey, I'll send you $800. You get on a damn plane and go to Crawford, Texas, and knock on the door. Think of John Kerry standing at the gates at Crawford, Texas, arguing with the Secret Service. Think how cool it would be for Kerry to say, well, goddammit, I'm going in, and have him try to get by the Secret Service and have the film on CNN of the Secret Service having to restrain Kerry, who obviously is not a danger to the president, but the idea that John Kerry wanted to get in and they have 3-4 Secret Service men holding him back. No, you're not allowed to see the president. The president is above all this. He won't talk to you. You're just a little man. You can't get in to see the king like in a damn Wizard of Oz. The president sees nobody. You cannot see the president. He will not see you. Now here we got the two arguably most powerful people in America. One of them won't speak to the other because he's a coward. Think of the mileage Kerry could have got out of that. But no, he doesn't want a confrontation. That wouldn't be nice. He wants to win this politely, like Al Gore did, like Dukakis did, like Mondale did. Anyone else tired of us winning politely, which means a trip back to your hometown, while the son of a bitch steals the White House? I'm tired of it. Anybody else tired of it? Am I the only one? Wait. If you listen real close, you can hear people unsubscribing in droves. They don't want to hear this. They don't want to hear this from me. They want me to say, oh, Kerry's got it won. We can't lose this now. The world knows that Bush is a stupid fraud. We can't lose this now. Go, boy. Kerry's the man. Kerry's going to win. Nothing can stop us. We're too powerful. Bush can't stop us. The truth will win. Yeah, that's how we wish things would happen. And I'm not down on Kerry all the way. I'm just saying, gee, John, do you have any fight left in you? Would you mind standing up, maybe throwing a punch? Is that too much to ask, John? Max Cleland is throwing punches. Why is that, John? Why are you asking the guy with no legs and one arm to fight for you, John? Wouldn't it be nice if you fought a little more, John? What if you took the initiative instead of having the DNC beg for money? Here we're back to begging. Instead of having them beg for money, it's so easy, John. Read the back pages. Listen to the old radio shows again and again and again. I've given you ideas that are free. And if they weren't free, they're cheap. They're cheap enough that I could pay for them. Like I say, John, I could come up with $800. I have a Visa card. I could fly it to Crawford, Texas. If you want to go down there and knock on the door and try to get past the Secret Service, you tell CNN, I guarantee you, I'll give you the biggest story of the entire summer. I'll give you the biggest story of the campaign. You get your cameras down there and you watch me try to get past the gate in Crawford, Texas. That would be the biggest story ever, John. America would see a fighter. America would see someone trying to get in to see the Wizard of Oz. But no, all the guards, the Secret Service has to keep you out because the wizard sees nobody. That's all free, John. It's free. How come you can't use free in your war, John? Why would you rather beg than use free ammunition? We need to discuss John Stewart. John Stewart comes up with a little piece of film where the idiot bastard liar is caught. In 1996, this guy stood there and talked about what a great hero Kerry was, and oh, he pointed his boat right into the fire, and he just went right into it, and there was fire from both sides, and he jumped out the boat, and he chased down that little guy in the loincloth. You know how they are? Oh, he shot a boy in a loincloth. It's like, well, who gives a fuck what the kid's wearing if he's shooting a machine gun at us? Jesus Christ. So, anyway, Kerry chases a guy down and kicks his ass. This fella calls him a big hero, and then 8 years later, he stands there and says, John Kerry is lying about Vietnam. And John Stewart came up with the clip. Where were the Democrats? Where were the networks? Where were the cable whores? Where were the talk radio Nazis? They're all covering for Bush. Fine, but where are the Democrats? Why is John Stewart the guy who has to come up with the proof? Of all the people in the Democratic Party, I don't know if John Stewart's even a member of the Democratic Party, but of all the people in the party, they're all frozen in fear. Meanwhile, the comedian John Stewart went and dug up the proof that makes Kerry innocent and makes this lying bastard a lying bastard. But why do we have to depend on John Stewart? It's great to have him, don't get me wrong. John's our man. He's the guy that's keeping this whole campaign together. If it wasn't for John Stewart, we wouldn't know half the stuff. John Stewart is like, he's like the smoking gun. He's a one-man undercover agency. But where are the Democrats? Why is it up to John Stewart to do this? John Stewart and Bill Maher, the two of them, are going to put Kerry in the White House. If Kerry makes it, it'll be due to John Stewart and Bill Maher and Michael Moore. But where are the Democrats? Why are these three guys fighting the Democrats' battles for them? Why are the Democrats so pitifully inept? The Democrats want your money. You know, if you pay $10 a month, you get Bill Maher. If you pay $10 one time, you get to see 9/11. If you pay $10 for your cable bill, you're going to get John Stewart. But the Democrats want your money. What are they going to do with your money? Are they going to buy some more red, white, and blue bunting to put on the stage so Kerry can go up there and say, I call on Bush to stop cheating. I call on Bush to play fair. You must play fair. Please stop treating us this way. Please, Mr. Bush, I'm begging you. Please, Mr. Bush, please play. Hey, John, when you're in Vietnam, did you beg the North Vietnamese to play fair? Did you call on them to stop shooting? No. You jumped out the boat, you went and grabbed the son of a bitch and put a bullet in his head. I'm not suggesting you do that now. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, you fought back then. I know you're a little older, a little more arthritis, the bones got a little more creak in them. But we're not asking you to physically fight. We're asking you to say something. Are we asking too much, John? Did we pick the wrong guy, John? Somehow, I don't think Wesley Clark would sit there and quake in fear, John. I don't think Wesley Clark would call on the president to play fair and stop cheating. Why are you guys doing that? What is the point? You're making us look bad, John. If you become president, are you going to call on Al-Qaeda to stop? Is that the plan, John? Instead of fighting, you're going to ask them, you're going to beg Al-Qaeda, please don't bomb us no more? See, this, now you're making me sound like Rush Limbaugh. I'm not sounding like Rush Limbaugh. You're making me sound like Rush Limbaugh. When you refuse to fight, you play into the stereotype that the Democrats refuse to fight because you refuse to fight. Good thing we got John Stewart. Good thing we got Bill Maher. Good thing we got Michael Moore and a couple of websites because the Democrats refuse to fight. Would somebody explain that to me? Why is it we have to turn on the Comedy Channel to find out what the hell's going on in our political scene? There's no fucking sense in that. Why should the Comedy Channel save us? Too bad we can't turn on CNN or the Fox Whore Network or one of those cable whores networks to get the truth. No, we got to go to the Comedy Channel. The Comedy Channel to get the truth from the Comedy Channel. Does it make you sick? Makes me sick. Makes me want to drink.
To charge the Bush campaign with being behind the group's ads, citing this New York Times article that outlined numerous links between the two groups. But Bush campaign manager Ken Mellman vigorously denied any involvement with the president on NBC's Meet the Press.
Tim, that charge is entirely baseless. Reading that New York Times article, I was reminded of that old Kevin Bacon game about 6 degrees of separation.
That's a fun game. I remember that game. That's a very fun game. You know, I used to be really good at that Kevin Bacon game. Let me see if I still got it. Okay, there's President Bush. Okay, his top advisor is Karl Rove. Okay, that's one. And he's friends with Bob Perry, who is the main financier of the Swifo Feds. Hey, I did it in two. Wow. That's really... I did it in two. I'm very good. You know what? Let me see if I can better this. All right, there's President Bush. There's Ken Cordier, who appears in a Swift Boat Veterans ad and is a member of the President's Campaign Committee on Veterans Issues. Wow, I did it again in one. Wow, that was... I'm really good at connecting the dots. You know, it's interesting. I tried to play that game linking Saddam to Al-Qaeda. It's much harder. Fellow vet John McCain has condemned the group, and no doubt a respected, decorated soldier like former Senator Robert Dole would do the same thing when he was discussing John Kerry.
And here's a, you know, good guy, good friend. I respect his record.
There you have it, Bob Dole. Used to have a reputation as a bit of a party hatchet man, but he's a fair man. I know him well. He used to be on this program quite a bit. He doesn't stoop to that kind of stuff anymore. So,
with three purple hearts, I never bled that I know of. I mean, they're all superficial wounds. Three purple hearts and you're out.
Oh, he's back, baby. It's the old Bob Dole. He's back. John Kerry, good friend. Respect him. Bit of a pussy. I'm not going to pull any punches here. I like him. Was in the Senate. He's a girl.
Well, I've always thought about her, the Purple Hearts. He got two in one day, I think.
Actually, that isn't true. Kerry didn't receive two Purple Hearts in a single day. You know, I'm concerned Senator Dole's criticism might be based on a misconception. What the hell. Let him rip. Everybody else is doing it.
Senator Kerry needs to talk about his Senate record, which is pretty thin. That's probably why he's talking about his war record, which is pretty confused.
Oh. So, Senator Dole, who lost the use of his right arm in World War II, is for Bush. So that's going to carry some weight. But former senator and current Kerry backer Max Cleland lost three limbs in combat. I don't know whose wounds to believe. Well, you know what? At this point, all we can do is wait for the judgment of the world's most war-injured person, Lieutenant Floating Head Man. I don't know what he thinks. His head says Kerry, but the machine that pumps fluid to keep his brain supple says Bush.
Got a little bit of poker talk for you here. No, don't touch that dial. Don't spin ahead. You know, I always say in poker, the number one rule is you deal the cards. We don't want to hear about your girlfriend. We don't want to hear about your car. Don't want to hear about your vacation. Don't want to hear about your erection problems. Don't want to hear about nothing. Well, maybe the Paris Hilton videotape, but besides that, we don't hear about nothing but the poker. Then I was proven wrong a little bit, because in that celebrity poker, which almost always blows, because it's all about the celebrities and not about the poker, they're playing for charity and they're risking nothing, so sure. When I was a little bitty kid, my aunt would say, let's play poker for matchsticks. And it's like, oh, I'll bet 100 trillion matchsticks. And then she raised them. Yeah, that's a real lot of fun playing poker. But in this last celebrity poker, probably not by the time you hear this, but they had on the funniest woman in the world, Wanda Sykes. And Wanda sat there for 2 hours, and she was drinking like a fish. She was drinking like Bart after a bad trip to the doctor's. She started out okay, and then the more she drank, the louder she got, and it just turned into a damn funny, entertaining evening. The poker was secondary, but I got a few snippets. This is only like 3 or 4 minutes long. It's 2 hours worth of comedy convinced into 3 minutes. Trust me, you got 3 minutes to hear this. Oh, and there's something else you need to know about this for it to work. The players involved are Jerome Bettis, known as the Bus, the backfield for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he's black. You have to know that to make this joke work. Randy Travis, the country singer. Everybody knows Randy Travis, right? Mina Suvari, who the announcer said we all lusted after inappropriately in American Beauty. And there was some other lady there who didn't do anything. She just was there. So those are the players, and you have to know that. Take it away, Wanda.
I'm Wanda Sykes, and I'm playing for Habitat for Humanity. As a kid, I was competitive across the board. You know, if it was cards, like you would just take a deck of cards and slap each other with them. I'm hoping we can get a round of knuckles in tonight because I want to smack Jerome Bettis with a deck of cards. I've been playing Texas Hold'em since, what time is it? I'm proud of my ignorance of poker. There's something about a button, the blinds. I don't know. I'm just going to try to get 21. If I were playing with my money, oh, no, I wouldn't be here. Not without a gun. The skill that I have is I can smell fear. So when I get them in that zone, I know I have them. I don't know how to bet.
I'm a check. I was just stretching.
See, they don't know. They think I know what I'm doing. I don't know. I really like Travis Tritt. Couldn't name one of his songs.
Is that one of your original tunes?
I'm writing this one just for you.
Oh, shucks.
Take him down.
Anything's better than that.
Yeah.
I heard Travis is playing for, St. Jude's Children's Hospital in Memphis. Sorry, kids. I'm going to put the brakes on the bus. He's going to be sitting back here in the loser's lounge.
Loser's lounge ain't that bad.
Set up some tires or something back here. Let him run some drills.
Okay, that was the setup and the welcomes. This is the game.
Where's my drink?
He's got to call. How can he not call an extra 1300?
Because he's afraid of Wanda.
Oh, thank you. Stick around, I'll tip you a little something.
Jerome, folks, Wanda wins the poll.
Oh, no. Tragic error. And the Pittsburgh Steelers locker room is not going to be a happy place to be.
Wanda might be new to the game, but she's trampling all over Jerome and Travis. Will Wanda keep up her winning ways? And she's got a jack nine.
I'm trying to look at my cards.
Here, folks.
I ain't thinking about your cards.
Jerome, folks.
Well, it was my cards on my breast. You looking at something?
It's 400 to call.
400, please.
I think both of them small.
You know, a little earlier I was concerned about my table placement, but I'm so glad I'm down here. I really am.
Is that one of your original tunes?
Come on, serenade us, baby.
I'm writing this one just for you.
Oh, shucks.
Uh-huh.
As we are...
Looks like he wants to come in for a raise here.
Come on, man. You spend more money than that on tobacco. Come on.
Just remember, nobody has ever died from secondhand spit.
He comes in for a raise to $1,200.
They will. They spit on the wrong motherfucker.
Did you see she's got some eyebrow action with
I missed all that.
You got some eyebrow action that you're working. Are you kidding?
These aren't even my eyebrows. Travis drew these on before I came.
Travis, can I be on one of your records?
Zario raises
sure can,
to 3,500.
Anytime you want to. Can you sing?
Not a lick, but that doesn't stop a lot of other people out here.
Absolutely.
I mean, come on, man. Have you heard of, what's the dude named William Hung?
Yeah. You know, he's making money, too.
I can sing,
he's making
man.
Money.
I can sing. Man, we can go on the road.
Travis Folds, Rosario went to pop.
Bus. Make Jerome drive it.
Oh, God. Where's Jerome going?
Is the game that bad? You humming Negro, like, spirituals? What the hell?
No, no.
Sung with Patti LaBelle, though. She does do a little
Nobody
bit better.
Nobody sings with Patti LaBelle.
I have sung. I have tried. I told her right off the bat, I said, whatever you do, honey, don't hurt me today. Because I know you can.
Yeah. Nobody sings with Patti. Listen,
we were in the same room together.
Get out. You a bad man.
Nah.
If you got a note in with Patti LaBelle, you a bad man.
That's a beautiful
and
lady
did,
right there.
And did the last special with Ray Charles, too. So, ooh. See? Don't underestimate the white boy from down south. Just because I'm country music don't mean I don't have a little bit of soul down in there somewhere.
I hear you. I hear you. Well said. Well said. But you know they told Ray Charles that you were Charlie Pride.
Mina is first.
And she's got pocket tens.
It's a very good hand.
How many chips you got?
You ain't fighting just me.
Oh, look at this. Another white woman taking the brother down.
That's just wrong. That's just wrong. You're the one who stole all his chips, and then you're going to put it on her so you don't feel guilty and lose your NAACP card.
I'm talking about wealth. Wealth is passed down from generation to generation. You can't get rid of wealth. Rich is some shit you can lose with a crazy sum on a drug habit. Fuck, Rick James was rich. 1 minute you're singing Super Freak, the next minute you're doing Old Navy commercial. Give it to me, baby. Give me corduroy. Not talking about rich, I'm talking about wealth. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not all white people's fault that black and brown people don't have any fucking wealth. Maybe, now just maybe if we didn't spend all our money on rims, we might have some to invest. We don't give a fuck, boy. Black people, we love rims. We will put shiny-ass rims on any piece of shit car in the world. We don't give a fuck. A brother put rims on a toaster if you let him. Money's new to black people. It's new to us. We the most money-wasting motherfuckers on the face of the earth. We spend money like we think the shit's gonna rot, okay? Brothers riding around with TVs in the headrest of the car. The TVs is on, and ain't nobody in the back seat. I ain't talking about rich, I'm talking about wealth. Now, when it comes to acquiring a fortune, when it comes to acquiring wealth in the United States of America, different people have gone about it in different ways, okay? There's a saying about wealth, there's a saying about fortunes. And the saying is, behind every great fortune is a great crime. Behind every great fortune is a great crime. And there's some truth to that, because some of the richest, most powerful people in the United States are the descendants of drug dealers. Your Kennedys, your Brockmans, it's all drug money. They call it bootlegging, but that's just a white word that means drug dealing, okay? They didn't sell boots. They sold the crack of their day, okay? They killed cops and kids, and that's cool. Good for them. Now, when it's time for other people to come up and acquire wealth, you know, the rules change. And one of the number one rules in America when it comes to acquiring wealth goes like this. The rule is, only the white man can profit from pain. Only the white man can profit from pain. So if you're black or brown, you can make money in America. You can prosper in America. You can get rich in America. But whatever you decide to do, it better be positive. Because if one person is harmed, you will be destroyed. Okay? You ever watch Oprah? Every now and then, Oprah has a show where she's just giving away money. You know why? She's trying to keep the feds off her back. Only the white man can profit from pain, okay? White man makes alcohol. Tastes great. I love it, you love it, we all love it. Kills motherfuckers every single day, okay? Some of y'all ain't even gonna make it home tonight because of alcohol. Gonna be driving home, oh man, that Chris Rock show is funny. Oh shit! But it's all right, because it's all white. White man makes cigarettes. Cigarettes, the most dangerous product known to man, okay? Kills motherfuckers every fucking day. Cigarettes are so dangerous, it kills motherfuckers that don't smoke. That's how fucking dangerous cigarettes are. That's right. First-hand smoke, second-hand smoke. People talking out of their necks in the machines like, hey, what's up, man? I love cigarettes. This shit is good. But it's all right, because it's all white. Shit, could you imagine if the Philip Morris family was a bunch of Jerry Curl niggas from Mississippi? Do you know how illegal a pack of cigarettes would be? You would get 60 years for a pack of Newports. But it's all right, because it's all white. That's right. White man makes guns. Nobody gives a fuck. White man makes guns. Kids shoot up each other in schools. Nobody gives a fuck. White man makes guns. No problem. Black rapper says gun. Congressional hearing.
You are listening to Bart Cop Radio at BartCop.com. Keeper of the Democratic Jewels.
Well, that was Big Show number 52. I hope you liked it. It was thrown together in about a day and a half. So maybe if you're not judging too critically, you might deem this an acceptable show. And we can start cranking out some more day and a half shows. Appreciate your support. Appreciate the subscribers. Appreciate those who send in the occasional $10 or $15 bill. You with the $15 bills, you better watch out. The government's on to you. So thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting. We're going to get to work on show 53. Bart out.
The United States is about to address the nation from the Oval Office. Here now is the president.
Are the times that rock and soul. I instructed our military commander to totally rock the man. And I repeat those well-known words over and over again. We will rock you. And I repeat this over and over again. Over and over again, and I repeat this over and over again. Over and over again. We will rock you. Some may ask, why rock out now? The answer is clear. The facts are clear. The answer is clear.
That's why I believe. That's why I believe. That's why I believe. That's why I believe.